Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to South Podcast, episode 372, Blame Pepper Coyote. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And that was our new intro song that we commissioned from Pepper Coyote. Sounds pretty cool, sort of a college protest song kind of vibe.
Yeah, I really thought it was a lot like it reminded me a little of Times Are Changing by Bob Dylan, but in like a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young kind of style.
Yeah, I was sort of like, all right, well, I trust you to do it, and it turned out pretty cool. So there is that. And we are all more or less okay. See, last week we were out and missed it because I had the flu. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, this week Shiva has it. And let me tell you that the flu this year really sucks. Mm-hmm. I was down for like a full week easy.
Did you get a flu shot?
Yeah, and I got a flu shot prior to Nightmare Nights, and I still caught the flu.
I got mine in December.
That's the thing, though. I just saw a thing from the CDC where they're basically like, this is peaked, but it's super widespread in every place in the country and could totally mutate. So enjoy your flu.
That's the problem with colds and flus. Is
like, I got it for the strain that was common before Nightmare Nights, and now there's something different.
Mm.
So that's really fun. You know, it's still good to get a flu shot, but if you don't,
it's not going to be 100%, but that's okay.
Yeah. To be completely fair, it was an all right week for me to be completely sick and dead because it was awesome games done quick.
Yes.
So Panther was working from home all week because his office was like, don't come in here. And
Keep your sick ass at home.
So we were both bundled up and sick, layered up, cooking ourselves. Mm. And I was spending time in Elite Dangerous and watching AGDQ runs.
Nice.
Yeah, AGDQ is Awesome Games Done Quick. For those of you that don't know, it's a speedrunning marathon that is a week long. And this year they raised over $2.2 million for charity. They do a cancer foundation, which goes and does like cancer pre-screening around the world.
Mm.
It's primarily in the U.S., but they do have stuff in Africa and Asia as well. So that's pretty cool. And it was also really nice to see several trans runners. They have a couple of trans folks on there, like announcing staff. And it was nice to see folks represented. And, you know, I've seen a lot of quality jokes where it's like, you know, transgender folk are the most powerful of speedrunners. They've already finished one gender and they're on to the next. And yeah, they had a couple folks and they did really good runs. Mm-hmm. What's really nice is you can collapse the chat on Twitch.
Yes.
Because when you have 120,000 gamers watching a stream, it is going to be a shit fit. And the thing is this year, they also made it so that you had to pay them. You had to subscribe to get chat. And even then, there were still people being awful. But
people willing to pay $5 or whatever.
Just to be shitty, yeah.
Wow.
It's like, oh, cool, this gaming organization is doing good stuff, but man, the average Twitch gamer is still a garbage person in a lot of ways.
Garbage Pail Kid.
It was cool, though. I got to see some games that I haven't seen before, like Bloodborne and Resident Evil 7. Like, first-person horror games. Not what I would play normally, and have no interest in playing, but I'll watch someone speedrun it who knows what they're doing.
Right.
And isn't like, oh, Jesus, this monster is testing me. They're like, oh, there's going to be one pop up here. There's one there. Oh, I got enough shotgun shells. Fix, you know. So it's like when they've speedrun the game, there are no jump scares because they know everything is coming. They're like, okay, I'm going to knock her down. I got to shoot her bee crotch. This woman is horrifying and full of bees.
What?
That's one of the bosses.
Oh, in Resident Evil?
Yeah, she has like the family of people that you've been kidnapped by are like this family of fungal mutants.
So you're shooting Oprah?
And her, and like, the dad is this regenerating mutant guy, and the mom has like these bee attacks and whatnot, but she has bee groin, like the hive is around her groin. You have to knock her down and shoot her in the crotch, which is kind of like, ugh. But it's nice when the player knows what they're doing and you don't have to worry. Like, again, I don't like horror games, so I would not have played the game, but I will totally have watched the VOD. Mm. Or I watched it live, actually. So I could be like, oh, okay, that's cool, and not have to play it myself.
Yeah. I think this happens since the last time. I actually bought my first video game in decades.
Yeah.
I actually bought Night in the Woods because I was like, let me see if I can play this on my PC. Because I was like, I kind of wanted to, like, when I watched you play it, you and I went through the B-centric storyline. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see, like, Greg's storyline. And so I installed it. I figured out how to use the buttons. And before I knew it, 3 fucking hours had gone by. And I was like, geez, I've not done this in like a long, long time.
But it's still a really good game.
It is, yeah. And like, I guess I, between whatever they added, plus just selecting different options than you did, it's totally different. Like, all the conversations seem different. There's like little side quests that I didn't notice before. There's this little mini game where you have to toss pierogies into Greg's muzzle. So it's just Greg's muzzle's pointing straight up and he moves slowly back and forth and you have to like angle the pierogi just right. And if you get it into his muzzle, he goes nom, 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 nom. And if you miss, it hits him in the head and leaves a little splatter of sauce. Nice. On his face. And there's 3 different flavors you can choose from. So.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was so much better at that than the rhythm game. Like, I am terrible at the rhythm game. Like, you know what they said afterwards? So are you just like not going to play at all? That was like, damn.
Yeah.
Like, you were doing a pretty decent job of it. I mean, but I'm just, yeah.
They actually included in the update, the Weird Autumn update, the ability for you to play the guitar in May's room.
Oh, yeah. So okay, so that was new. I played that, yeah.
So you can practice the songs and get better, but it is kind of like, you still kind of suck at it.
Oh, yeah, I totally sucked at it. May played it, and she was like, wow. Yeah, I really suck at this. I can't remember her exact words, but it was pretty much like, yep.
It is nice that that's on there, but, you know, we have our Let's Play that we did together.
Yeah.
Where I played it and you watched and we discussed it and whatnot.
Yeah.
But YouTube is currently saying fuck you to small channels.
Mm.
So here this last week, they introduced new limitations on channels.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to have over 1,000 subs and over 4,000 hours of view time in a year to keep your partnership. Basically, YouTube partnership prior to this conferred a lot of like bonus things. Like, yes, you could make money on your videos, but it also lets you do things like scheduling and do end cards that link to outside websites and whatnot. Without that ability, you're restricted. Like, you can't say, hey, you like my shit, find me on Patreon or anything like that. Yeah. Because they restrict specifically restrict Patreon links in YouTube's descriptions.
Because they want you to make your money on YouTube.
Yeah. So basically what they've done is said, well, fuck you to pretty much any small account. Now, on one hand, as a person that is a small creator who I literally, it is my own fault. Like, I would totally be past the 4,000 hour mark if I had kept producing stuff after like March of this year. Mm-hmm. I took a big break because I wasn't really feeling it, but I've looked at my numbers and I only need like 375 hours of views until between now and February 20th to pass that.
Right.
So like I've got a couple, like it's interesting that it's been kind of a kick in the pants where it's like, I should maybe do some more stuff because I'd like to keep the monetization. Because once you lose it, you have to reapply, you lose access to some of your things, and then, of course, with the reapplication process, requires them to go through all your videos and make sure, are you advertiser-friendly? Mm-hmm. And the thing is, this is in response to a lot of their larger content creators being dipshits, like the Jake and Logan Paul thing.
So, I'd only heard of the Logan guy, not the other guy.
They're brothers, they're related to Ron Paul, they're just like...
Bad. Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So they're just bad from start to finish. And yeah, they took that dude off their preferred platform, same as they did with PewDiePie, and that's cool. But the other thing that they're saying is that they're preventing small people making burner channels and making money that way. Like, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to make a throwaway channel that posts shit and, you know, gets views. Well, in your case,
like, you couldn't have made a channel just for your Undertale stuff, or a channel just for your pony stuff, or just for your furry stuff.
Yeah. Like, you can, but all of them have to pass that threshold. So, like, if right. I had, well, if I had done a pony channel that I'd posted all of my audiobook stuff that I made for that, it would have issues.
Yeah.
Because those never did very well, despite the amount of work I put into them. The Undertale stuff was all short form. It's little animated comics, and they're like 30 seconds long. So 4,000 hours of tiny clips like that, it doesn't really work that way.
Right, yeah.
Part of my combating that issue is I'll be putting this episode up on YouTube and probably doing that going forward, because if we can watch our language, you wouldn't have a problem.
My God, this is a gun sword.
Yes, it is. Fuzz has picked up one of the accessories from an old Final Fantasy VIII Squall figurine. And I was playing with that
to a changeling.
And the Judy Hopps figurine.
Oh, yeah.
She's still in her box right up there. But
oh, okay.
She can hold that and the beam scythe from Gundam Death Scythe from Gundam Wing. And there's like a shotgun.
I think I saw you post a picture of her holding the scythe or something else.
Like, because she has the various faces and the ears, you can make her look all kind of scary. Like, yeah, I've got the scythe. And she's got the smiley face, but her ears are back. And she's like, I'm going to kill you. Going back to the YouTube thing, I can understand in a way that they don't want to have to maintain so many AdSense accounts, because their prior threshold was 10,000 views, which is not much at all. They're basically doing
I'm just
a way
looking
to,
while you're talking, I'm just looking to all the
the various junk on my table. Yeah, I know. But this way they don't have to maintain so many AdSense accounts.
Yeah.
Because everybody, there's like, look, we're going to pay out all the remaining, all the outstanding things for people.
Here's your check for $2.40.
Well, like, for me, I have $60 sitting in my AdSense account. The payment threshold is $100.
Right.
So I'll get a check for $60.
Yeah.
If I lose my monetization. Whoop-dee-doo, right? It's it's more the principle of the thing, because there is the additional shit that goes with it.
Yeah, it sounds to me like the additional things that you can do, the abilities you can unlock as you level up in YouTube.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the same way like becoming an affiliate on Twitch. You can do more stuff that way.
Yeah.
But that actually is a lot easier than getting partnership on YouTube, unless you're producing long form content.
Right.
This is going to bite a lot of like animators and musicians in the butt, because songs are like 3-4 minutes, right? And they take a lot longer than that to produce.
Yeah.
Same for animators. They make a 30-second animation that takes them 2 weeks to do, and they get a bunch of views. Well, that's great. That's 30 seconds. Per view, you need X amount.
Yeah.
And so while they claim, oh, it's to prevent bad faith burner accounts and people that get banned from making new accounts and whatever, then making money when we don't want them to. Okay, fine. But it hurts just like the little dudes that just do it for fun.
It sounds like instead of putting the manpower into actually going through all the individual accounts would be like, this is a shitty burner account, delete it. They're just doing this blanket kind of rule that's going to fuck over a lot of innocent bystanders at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think I mentioned last week that they've been going through and demonetizing videos.
Right.
Like, and it's only based, it's not based on the content, it's based on like the title. So there is a 2-part fanfic that I read years ago called Princess Celestia Hates Tea. But because it includes the word hate in the title, it was demonetized.
Really?
Yeah. So I clicked manual review, and but the thing is, it's like, oh, it has to have had like 1,000 views for us to look at it. So that thing's been up there for 2-3 years at this point. No, it's not going to get remonetized. I wasn't making anything on it anyway. But it's like,
yeah,
this isn't reported. This is your algorithm going through and looking at a title and going, oh, that doesn't seem kosher. It's like the story is about Princess Celestia once made a mistake and like didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings and said she loved their tea. And as such, for the next 1,000 years or so, giving her tea has become this thing, and she's been forced to like it, or she still hates it. But she's like, I have to maintain the veneer, and I can't be like, I hate tea, because that will crash the economy of a tea producing nation.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a cute old fic, but yeah, it's just like YouTube has been really fucking it up for anybody that's not this like high-end duder.
Anyone who's not like
eating Tide Pods,
swearing and making racial slurs. And
well, see, that's the thing. That'll get you
fun of other cultures.
Yeah, like you can have a lot of the accounts that they're like, oh, these guys are promoting hate and we don't want them on the platform. They guys, they've got 400,000, 500,000 subscribers. Mm-hmm. They have the reach. They're not going to get hit by this quality control.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it does nothing to actually combat the actual bad parts of YouTube and just kind of, like, cuts out a very large portion of the user base.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of users that have over 1,000 subs but don't have 4,000 hours of view time in a year is probably pretty high.
It's kind of like almost how, like, when Patreon kind of shot themselves in the foot, when they were like, we want to focus on, like, the few people that are doing really well and making the majority of their income from Patreon.
Yeah.
And push out all these small creators, not realizing that the majority of people on Patreon are the small creators that are diversifying between their income stream between Patreon and a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
And then they had to kind of look at it and be like, okay, we fucked up. We're going to change
this. We'll see what happens with YouTube. But I've already gotten the email that's like, yo, you're going to lose your monetization if you don't cross the threshold in 30 mm-hmm. days.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, if I put this up here and it's like an hour and a half and, you know, 100 people listen to it on YouTube instead of downloading it.
Right.
That works out better for me. And that helps me keep my monetization up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, I kind of want to produce content, but I've just been super demotivated to doing so.
Yeah.
And this, oddly enough, has been super demotivating to other people, but for me, it's kind of a kick in the pants to get done. It's like, okay, you've got X amount of days to get this tiny amount of hours, so give it a shot.
You got this.
Yeah. So, Tide Pods. So... Man.
At first I was like, oh, it's just a silly meme. It'll go away. But they've actually released statistics that more people died of eating Tide Pods in 2016 than in 2015 and in 2017 than in 2016. And like something like 56 people died in 2017. And so far in 2018, like 33 people have died. So it's taken an exponential spike up. And it's like, this isn't just like the people that used to be dying for this was like a baby accidentally got into it. That's bad.
Yeah.
You keep the cleaning products, any cleaning products away from small children. And like 6 adults died because they were elderly and they had dementia. And that's totally understandable. And yeah. That's very unfortunate accident. But for it to have jumped this much, people really are being stupid.
Oh, yeah.
And eating these fucking things. And like, now I found the video of like the fursuiters doing it quite amusing because they're putting them in their fursuit mouth. They're not actually swallowing the Tide Pod.
Yeah. You know?
So, like, don't eat the Tide Pods, kids. Like, damn.
The ridiculous part, too, is that like these prank channels and challenge channels going back to YouTube are like, oh, do the Tide Pod challenge, like put the thing in your mouth and hold it, don't bite down. And it's like, these are children that are getting themselves sickened or killed for YouTube fame.
Yeah,
it's really ridiculous. And to the point that Tide actually was like, hey, like Consumer Product Safety Commission put out a tweet about it. Tide put a thing about it. And now
they're in little plastic boxes locked up at the grocery store.
I should have double checked it when I was at Kroger the other day. But yeah, I've seen the pictures of people going like, yeah, look what you have done. And their Tide Pods are in security cases like hair color or stuff like in cosmetics. It's like, really, guys? That's impressive.
This can't just be a furry thing.
Oh,
we're not big enough for it to be just
a furry thing. Think what happened is it might have started as like a furry joke that then like some normie found and then they decided, oh, I'm going to spread this around. Mm. Because, oh, look at those silly furries eating Tide Pods. Well, I should make a meme about it. And honestly, like when people initially, I was like, ah, I've got the organic free range ones because I have the all free and clear. They're the clear ones. Because
organic free range,
you know, if they're for sensitive folks, sensitive skin,
cruelty free laundry detergent.
There we go. I saw the whole like, yo, this will kill you. I was like, this is not funny. I'm going to avoid that.
Yeah,
because we also have like the little detergent pods for the dishwasher.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, I've got a variety. Then I was like, ah, no, I shouldn't do that.
No.
Don't put stupid memes out into the world if they can hurt people.
Yeah. Although, I saw a picture today of a company that's made a fleshlight that is colored like a Tide Pod.
I saw this horrible, like, confluence of things. It's like Uganda Knuckles fucking an Anthro Tide Pod.
God.
Yeah, it's...
Just put all the horrible memes into one.
As horrible as possible in one spot, because the Tide Pods will kill you. The Uganda Knuckles just make you look like a dumbass. So yeah. You've seen the discourse around that, right?
I've seen some of the discourse. I haven't actually seen the meme, the original, or any of the other spinoffs.
It just started out as this little goofy thing on YouTube. It was this little Knuckles, fat blobby Knuckles singing a song, and people would lip sync it to other things. Mm-hmm. And then someone made a avatar for this program called VR Chat. It's designed for VR. You can go in first person and import your stuff kind of like Second Life.
Right, right.
And so people made this stupid little Knuckles thing.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, someone decided to sync the audio to that of a Ugandan film where it was like, oh, do you know the way? But then people got a hold of it and just were like, let's be racist with it.
Right. So it wasn't just their accent, because you told me that they started saying shit about having AIDS.
AIDS and Ebola and making like clicking language noise, like, oh, I'm going to click at you kind of stuff. Basically, it's a lot of uninformed meme lords on the internet going around stereotyping Ugandan culture specifically and just not having a single clue about Africa.
Yeah.
It should be a pretty baseline thing that if you're making a ethnicity character and you are not that ethnicity, maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Just as you don't go slanting your eyes and making bad Asian accents.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that with Ugandan people or, you know, any other ethnicity. It's not very nice and it's really bottom basement stuff.
Yeah. It's really punching down as far as comedy.
Folks going like, oh, you know, it's just a thing, and the directors think it's funny. It's like, well, the original thing might have had merit and stuff, but when you divorce it from, okay, it's just based off this thing, and you're running around saying, oh, you smell like you have Ebola, we must spread Ebola, you have AIDS, I have AIDS, let's go, you know? Don't. Just don't, all right?
Yeah.
And it's real shitty, because anybody that's basically said, hey, you know, I'm, like, there was a furry who was like, yo, I'm from Uganda, this is a bad look, don't do it.
Yeah.
And you just end up with all these people and their replies going, do you don't know the way or whatever. And it's like, it made it very easy to figure out just block, 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 block.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, I never want to see, oh, this person's a furry. That's disappointing. Block, you know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to be, but it is. Like, look, you know, don't punch down with your humor. It's part of the reason why absurdist humor is so popular.
Uh-huh.
You know, just the really bizarre stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not punching anywhere. It's punching into the void.
Right.
You know, silly memes about with like the bee, red block bee.
Yeah, what is that? I see that occasionally and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
It's just it's just an emoji, letter B.
Yeah.
I don't know the genesis of it, but it's
know your meme.
Yeah, it's a know your meme kind of thing. It's just absurd. It's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine.
Right.
You can totally be weird, it not be attacking people. It's not like, oh, we're going to make a joke at the expense of insert person or ethnicity or sexuality here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just being weird. And that's cool. Part of the reason that millennial humor is so weird is because we're trying to do stuff that's funny that's not at the expense of people. And that's good. So it's like if you had this weird squat little Knuckles that wasn't titled Ugandan Knuckles and wasn't going on about AIDS and Ebola, no one would give a shit.
Yeah.
But the people doing this are just your average-ass gamers that were like, we have this meme, let's make it awful. That's kind of...
Can't just let it be.
Yeah, I mean...
Add some crap to it.
Basically, anytime something becomes popular, there's going to be people that turn it into something as awful as possible. Take this cute yellow horse with pink mane and blue eyes and, oh, she's a Nazi now. Aw, damn it, you know.
Yeah, this is the dumbest thing.
It's like, but now Fluttershy's in an anime again.
Right. Yeah, you sent me that picture of an anime girl that had all the colorings of Fluttershy.
Yeah, so right now, there is too much anime.
Yes, yes.
There is too much anime. It is the third week of the winter 2018 season on Crunchyroll and whatnot. And James and I were like 2 or 3 weeks late on finishing out last season.
And now you're fucked.
Now we're super fucked because we had to finish up the shows from last season. And then we realized there are 16 shows between this season on Crunchyroll and on Amazon. And then realizing because Amazon killed Anime Strike.
Yeah.
Which was their $5 a month extra.
They went on an anime strike.
They did. And now they made all their anime available because they only had it for like a year.
Yeah.
And they basically made it so that all their prior catalog was now just on Amazon Prime Instant Video.
Yeah.
Which means that there's like 6 shows from prior seasons that were like, no, we got to watch that. Ah! It's a really good problem to have. The anime Fluttershy is from a show called Laid Back Camp, which is like a tourism show.
I just wanted a show called Anime Ass Fluttershy.
Well, I don't know much about the character yet because it was just, this is the first episode.
Yeah.
But she's totally pink-haired, blue-eyed, got like a yellow vest on. You know, she's anime as hell, but she's Fluttershy looking too.
Mm-hmm.
The girl goes camping at a lake a little bit away from Mount Fuji. It's this very picturesque spot that is very carefully modeled after the real-life area.
Nice.
Like down to including like a very specific campground.
Yeah.
So it's probably paid by for the local tourism board and the campground
right.
to be like, yo, come visit our camps around this lake and you can get these really cool views of Mount Fuji, and anime girls have been here, therefore you should go. A lot of shows have done this. I was telling us you at dinner,
yeah.
like Amanchu did this with the town that they were set in. There was a girls bicycling club anime from a couple seasons back that did the same thing, that was set in a specific village that used local landmarks and whatnot. So you could totally go to it on Google Maps and Google Earth 3D and be like, oh, that's where they were at. Oh, that's where they're at. So that's cool that they're doing that. And it is totally like the local tourism board going, let's get the weebs to come to our area. They have money.
Whereas on this side of the world, we're just like, hey, let's go to Vancouver and see where everything on Sci-Fi was filmed.
Yep. And everything in the DC shows.
Yep.
And X-Files. Travelers and probably the new X-Files. So it's really funny. I think I may have said this before, but, you know, everything, all the DC shows, Arrow, Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, whatnot, they're all filmed around in and around Vancouver.
Yeah.
And they use a lot of the same locales.
Yeah, you'd mentioned this.
But yeah, we were watching the show Travelers, which I may have mentioned last week.
Yeah, I started watching that, actually.
Yeah?
You had said it was good. I'm only like 4 or 5 episodes into season 1, so I haven't seen a lot of it yet.
Yeah.
But it's pretty good. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's got some really interesting like time travel concepts and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes. And it's a full 2 seasons long so far, and it's hopefully it gets a 3rd season. I don't know if it's gotten the okay for a 3rd season yet.
Right.
But they left a major cliffhanger at they basically like, everything is fucked. Oh no, what are they going to do at the end of the 2nd season?
It's like that Legends of Tomorrow cliffhanger where they land back in the 21st century. There's dinosaurs rampaging up the street, and they're like, guys, I think we broke time.
Yup.
To be continued.
Question mark? Speaking of Netflix, though, you got to sit and watch through Dark.
Yes. I had a few days off of work because, like, my idiot manager got back to me and told me that my time off for FC was approved long after when that information would have been useful, because we'd already made arrangements like, well, Fuzz isn't going to be here, so we can have our other friends in the room with us and stuff like that. But I decided, fuck it, I'm just going to take the days off anyway, because we've been like super busy, and I needed a break and I needed to get caught up on stuff. And one night I was like, huh, Dark, Saverin mentioned that, I'm going to check that out. And I just, it's 10 or 12 episodes, I think. I don't remember.
I don't recall exactly.
I think it's 10. So about 5:30 in the morning, I finished with the season. So I just watched it straight through.
That show is wild.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. It's got some interesting concepts and some messed up scenes and stuff in it. Also, some wibbly wobbly stuff with time, which I appreciate. They answered some questions, but like they left so much unexplained. And I know it's getting a season two, but I was kind of hoping for more stuff to be wrapped up, I guess.
Yeah, I could totally see that. So it's set in this fictional town.
Yeah.
So like it's named after a real place, but it is not actually based on the real place.
Oh, okay.
You know, the real place is in the Black Forest, but not doesn't have like a nuclear power plant or anything. It's literally this T junction of a town. Doesn't even have a crossroads, just a T junction kind of thing. It's really cool because it takes place in three different times. It's like 1986, 1953, and then 2019. So there's like a 33-year gap between the three.
Yeah.
And they're in the wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff, because it also doesn't necessarily like nail down. It's like, what is the main timeline of this? Because a lot of it's set in 2019, but if you're going back to 1953... that means that the center point, because they talk about you can go forward and backward in time, that means the center point is 1986.
Yeah.
And so there's stuff that happens in all the different times. And they actually take a lot of pain to make the stuff accurate.
It's kind of like Stranger Things and Mindhunters that both take place at different eras.
Yeah.
Where they did a lot of work with the set design of making it look really authentic to when it is supposed to take place.
Yeah, and I'm also interested that the Raider bars, right? It's the candy bar that, like, in the first episode, they find one in the woods, and the guy kind of looks at it like, what?
Yeah,
and that was
one of the little girls finds it walking on the lane, and then the other guy is eating one.
Then there's, like, an ad for one, and it basically, that's what
they look like Twix.
It's basically what Twix is.
Yeah,
they were called Twix in like the UK, but they're a Raider in the rest of Europe. But then like in like 89 or whatever, they changed the name to Twix globally.
Ah, okay.
So basically that's your first clue that there's some timey-wimey shit going on.
Right.
Was that they're finding anachronistic candy bar wrappers.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a German language show. So you can watch it with subtitles, or they have an English dub.
Yeah,
and
dub titles.
It was funny because I'm not a fan of dubs, because when you're watching it and it doesn't sync up, because German is quite a bit different than English.
Yeah.
So we actually, Panther and I, watched it with the German with English subs.
Right.
Which makes you pay a lot more attention. It's more authentic that way. It's like watching anime with subs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or in the case of like I got Pokken Tournament for the Nintendo Switch.
Like, I insist on watching Doctor Who in the original British.
Yeah. Well, you know, thankfully, there's not a huge barrier of language there, you know.
They have to translate all of Peter Capaldi's Malcolm Tucker dialogue into BBC English for Doctor Who.
He's like, oi, governor, no, no, no. And it's like, I would like a hamburger. You know, they had to translate it to American.
There's actually an episode of The Thick of It where he's laid out this deal for this guy and he's gone away. And then the guys come back like half an hour later and been like, okay, you're right. I'll take the deal. And he's like, that deal's not on the table anymore. And he's like, but you said, he's like, that was half an hour ago. We fucking time traveled. It's like, that's 30 minutes hence. There could be anything happening. There could be dinosaurs in the street. And I love the people that have put, we fucking time traveled, yeah? Into Doctor Who scenes. This is so perfect. I'm going to miss him.
Yeah. When does the new doctor come in?
Oh, unfortunately not till the fall.
Oh, that's rough.
I really wanted the show to come back in April, March, April, like it usually does.
Are they not
going to
do like an Easter special?
No.
Oh, that's lame.
They only ever did that with David Tennant because he had that year where it was all specials.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go be
a special doctor.
A big actor in America.
No, actually, he did that to be Hamlet.
Oh, that's a bigger deal.
Yeah. In the UK, that's a massive deal. And that was actually playing Shakespeare. It is
and a being Hamlet.
And being Hamlet in particular is a massive deal.
Oh, it was Eccleston that just tried to come to the US and do all and become an American actor, and it didn't work out too well for him.
He was G.I. Joe. He was in Thor 2. Was it Heroes?
I'm sure it probably paid him a lot better than being the doctor, but sure. It's still one of those, like, eh, you know.
The other thing given is, a couple is seasons. In Britain, like, they make a much bigger deal out of theater than we do in the States. So if an actor is not in a bunch of Hollywood stuff, but they go and they do, like, a bunch of theater stuff, that's not seen as, like, a step down the way Americans look upon it.
Yeah.
Although there's this great line of BoJack Horseman. They have this actress, Margot Martindale, playing herself. And she's like a character actress who's like just pops up in various things over the years. But she's like been a criminal in some episodes of BoJack Horseman. So she went on the run and she went into hiding and she's like, I went to the one place I knew I wouldn't be discovered. Regional theater. That's a great show too. They need to animate faster.
There's some pretty decent regional theaters around here. Panther and I went and saw his sister in a show. At a theater in Fort Worth here a couple months ago. It was pretty good. Royal Society of Antarctica, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
It was like takes place at a research station down there.
And they shipped in the snow.
Yeah. Well, it was a very minimal set play. It was actually pretty cool. And I hadn't gone and seen anything in a like actual playhouse theater in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool.
Hashtag culture.
Yep.
I've seen plays. It's been a while.
So moving to the next topic,
yes.
Before we get to the FC and then the emails, you've seen Last Jedi, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Last Jedi without any women in it?
No, I haven't.
Me neither, but somebody went through the effort of doing that, and man, what a colossal waste of time.
There are so many pivotal plot points that have one of the women characters in it. I do not understand, like, 90% of Luke Skywalker's time on screen is in the company of Rey.
Yeah.
So, like, I know they're not going to cut Luke out, so what is he, just talking to a pork the whole time? I mean,
if he's just it's like we have these random interludes where Luke is going around, just being puttering around on the island. There's nothing. Chewie eats the porg.
I mean, like, look at who Rey intersects with most in this movie. Luke and Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, that is 2/3 of the plot right there.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the other third is, like,
Poe and Finn and Rose.
Finn and Rose's side story on Canto Bite, which you can't remove Rose from that without, like, just no contexting it.
Yeah, you'd have to remove the whole thing.
Yeah, because Rose
which would take a majority of Finn's part out of the film.
Yeah. And so I think it's hilarious in a way because this person must hate the movie that much. And it's also bad because they did it apparently based on a cam version of the film.
Right.
Yeah. So it was like somebody snuck in a Steadicam into a theater. My dude, how deranged are you?
I'm going to pirate this movie because I hate women so much.
I'm going to pirate the movie and then edit it and then put it up on the internet for other people to pirate my weird-ass lame version that doesn't have any of the female characters in it.
I almost feel like we should watch it just to see if it makes any sense at all. I'm actually curious. I'm like, okay, what was their actual goal? You know, did they have a plot in mind? Because you can't just cut literally half the cast.
Well, think about it. The end of the movie, without women intervening at the end of the movie.
Right, yeah.
Everyone dies.
Yeah.
Everyone dies because hopefully folks have seen the movie at this point because it came out, what, December 7th?
Yeah,
so it came out over a month ago. I feel that that's kind of the statute of limitations. We're like, Rose doesn't save Finn. Finn zorches himself, dies anyway, doesn't stop the laser. Rey doesn't fly the Falcon, doesn't rescue people using the Force. Everybody dies.
Right.
Series over, First Order wins, Kylo Ren is Supreme Leader. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know,
and the Admiral doesn't destroy the part of the fleet.
Yeah.
And I guess Leia's just not there. I don't.
Yeah, she gets, well, she doesn't appear in the film, so she just poofs.
Yeah.
Kylo has no reason to murder Snoke at that point. mm-hmm. because like
Rey's not there,
and like, you can't show that badass the best fight scene that's been in any Star Wars movie ever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So basically, what we're saying is that the person who did this, they've by us discussing their crime against fandom, we're giving them far too much attention. But it's one of those things where when the director, Rian Johnson, John Boyega, Mark Hamill, and
I think it's the actress who played the Admiral.
Yeah, yeah, I forget her name. I'm terrible with names. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I just saw this one. It's just like they're all just quote tweeting each other, just throwing dunking out lol emoji, this. Just like yeah. lol.
If I was like that hardcore of a Star Wars fan to do something like that, I would be ashamed to have Mark Hamill laughing his ass off at how stupid I was.
Yeah, and you totally would deserve it, too.
Yeah.
For just being like, there's too many women in Star Wars. My dude, women have been a key component of the rebellion since its inception. Leia is a key figure at the beginning of episode 4.
Yeah.
Mon Mothma was the leader of the rebellion the entire time until she died. Prior to that, Padme Amidala was a major character. So, like, women have been in major portions of power all the way through it. And the only time, like, then, of course, Empire shows up and movie canon, it's all, like, dudes. Uh-huh. It is all dudes, all humans. It was kind of how it was in the Empire. Now, of course, in the books and whatever, they added there's female admirals and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Phasma.
Yeah. Well, and Phasma shows up First Order, not Empire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But okay, anyways. I didn't think you were talking about Empire the movie. I thought you were talking about the Empire.
I'm thinking of the Empire as an entity that the Rebellion was fighting in the Star
original
Wars.
Movies.
The original movies, yeah. You know.
The real first movie.
Exactly. Prequels? There were no prequels. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying they didn't exist, but I'm just like, when someone says the first Star Wars movie, that's episode 4
yeah, to me. Yeah, exactly.
Although I guess for a kid growing up now, and this is their first time seeing it, they're going to think of Phantom Menace as the first Star Wars movie. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Like, they've pretty much made non-canon, or they've just, like, completely ignored the canon that they set up in the first three films.
Really?
Or in the prequel trilogy.
Oh.
So, like, they just kind of ignore that at this point. Even though they had Clone Wars, which is set between
3 and 4.
Right? 2 and 3.
2 and 3, right.
And then 3, 4 Rebels was
between
Rebels.
3 and 4.
So it's like they're kind of shoving it to the side a little, and they're taking the good bits, but there's not a ton of good bits.
Well, fuck. I mean, episode 7 is, what, 70 years after episode 3? Because there's like a 40-year... it's got to be a 20-year gap. It's a 19-year gap, I think, how old Luke's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
But then, I mean, we know it's 30 years between Jedi and Force Awakens.
And then the Star Wars original trilogy takes place over the course of, like, 6 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're talking, like, 50, 60 years between the prequels and the films we're watching now. A lot of those characters are either old or they've been killed in the intervening films, so there's not really that many
things
threads
to call back to, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's also interesting because that also means that, like, because of the time setting where Thrawn is.
Uh-huh.
So they brought Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is in the Timothy Zahn books.
Right.
And he's a popular character, but they've firmly set him in the timeline between 3 and the original Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
So that makes him, he's an adult-ass adult Grand Admiral before the first Star Wars movie.
Right.
And during the timelines of Rebels is where they're firmly at now.
Yeah.
So
I haven't been watching that.
Yeah, it's stupidly expensive. It's not available on any like legal streaming service.
Right.
And to buy it is like $40 or whatever a season.
Yeah, it's $40 a season for like 20 minute episodes or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like buying like full length sci-fi show episodes or something like that. I just looked at it and I was like, this is, I kind of want to know what happens, but, and I only bought season 1 because it was on sale for half off and that put it at a reasonable price.
Like, you can purchase the physical discs cheaper than you can for the digital.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
God.
Like, you can get Star Wars Rebels seasons at like Target pretty easily, I think. What really sucks is when it shows like Gravity Falls, which never got physical releases.
Yeah.
And the entire series is $80.
Oh, how many episodes is that?
less than 50, and they're 22-minute cartoons.
Eh. That seems a little more reasonable. Rebels is pricey.
Yeah, but it's like $20 per 10 episodes, so it's $2 an episode.
I mean, My Little Pony was kind of pricey, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, originally there was the full season, and they changed it to volumes.
Yeah.
So, like, we had DuckTales. Mm-hmm. It was $10 for volume one, and we're like, oh, is it the first season? Nope, first season's 20 episodes. Volume one is 10 episodes, so we got the 10 episodes, watched it for $10, and it was like, oh, first taste is free. Next chunk's not even out yet.
Well, literally, the first taste was free, because they gave us the pilot for free.
Yeah, that's true. The first little bit's a lower price. Oh, mm-hmm. The dealer jacks it up if you want to keep watching the ducks.
Yeah, well, Tieran bought that first volume, and I haven't even watched it yet.
It's good. Just give it a shot.
I have no doubt it's good. I've seen the pilot.
And it's got David Tennant.
Good. Yeah.
As Scrooge. Yeah. He's in all the episodes. You can tell it's him doing, like, he's using his standards, his actual Scottish accent, and just roguing it up a little.
Yeah, he actually sounds amped up to Scots a little bit. Like,
maximum Scott.
Yes.
Last thing before we hit the few emails we got, further confusion. You didn't go.
I didn't go. You're like, how was it, Fuzz?
I don't know.
From Twitter, it looked like it was a good time.
Yeah, I do. I love the fact that FC did their, oh, whoa, what's this?
That was a really neat idea. I really liked that. That
was really good.
So what he's describing is a big banner sign that it was one of the entrances to the convention center for people who were visitors or people who were there for a couple of the other events, because the event was also hosting a volleyball tournament and a Yu-Gi-Oh tournament.
Yep.
So, like, somebody posted a picture of the sign. It was like volleyball, FurCon, Yu-Gi-Oh, and someone quote retweeted it with the three genders. Oh, whoa, what's this? And it basically described what the FurCon is all about.
There was another high quality one that was like, whether you're a blue eyed white dragon playing the blue high white dragons or playing the blue eyed white dragon, you're welcome here in San Jose. So it was like, ah, that's great.
I like that convention center has been host to multiple events every year. Like last year, there was like a video game thing going on.
Yeah.
Some kind of video game championship.
It was Smash Brothers.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, and the year before that was Cannabis Con.
That sounds fun. So it was really cool.
It was called Hemp Con. Hemp. That's what it was. Yeah.
I think it was Sonic Fox. He's a big old furry and extremely good at fighting games.
Right.
Cool dude. He actually seems like a genuinely cool dude on Twitter, too, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, went to the con, but also played in the tournament. So he was like, yo, I gotta go play my Smash Brothers pools. Did that. All right, I'm going to the fur con. So it was just like, just one-stop shop.
That is so cool. Convenient for him.
He's like, I'm going to go be a furry, and I'm going to go win the money at the tournament so I can turn around, go to the furry con, and spend it in the dealer room. That would be hilarious, like some super high-end fighting game players. Like, all right, I got my winnings. I got my $8,000, $9,000, and just goes and buys a fursuit. Then a bunch of commissions of his fursuit character.
Yeah, he's like, playing fighting games.
I'm a fighting game furry now. That's what I am. And that's super cool. Like,
it's surprising, actually, the number of furries that have, like, a massive Twitter following, like right up there with, like, mainstream kind of media figures is... Well, starting to increase.
It's one of those things where furry has gotten notice for kicking the fuck out of Nazis,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the fandom. And so, like, in certain sections, we're getting noticed and we're just out there being different and weird. And then people realize, oh, actually, that's kind of cool. So, like,
what are we all about? Porn, eating Tide Pods, and saying no to Nazis.
Hey, there was another tweet where it was like someone was saying that, you know, they were impressed about how the furry fandom is handling the Nazis, mm. and how they're really disappointed that their wargaming fandom totally wasn't.
Right.
And they're like, why isn't that the case? And I'm like, well.
Mm.
You know, it is one of those things where fandom is political because life's political.
Yeah, and like everything is political.
Just because you're presenting as a cuddly fox person on Twitter doesn't mean you're not a real person behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I have a cutesy icon that was done by my friend Sarah, and I'll be tweeting, like, serious political shit and then pictures from space and then, like, retweeting cute art. That's not fandom. That's just my internet life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can't say, oh, keep the politics out of a fandom. because the people are the fandom and life's political. You can't just be like, oh, well, I'm going to pretend that nothing's wrong and I'm a cute uwu musky husky. I mean, you can totally do that for yourself, but you can't do that to other people and expect them to take that well.
Right? Yeah. Like, if you want to conduct yourself like that on Twitter, like that's your thing, you're going to be in that character the whole time, that's fine. But what bugs me is that when people doing that start complaining about how all this politics is ruining my fun time or whatever, it's sort of like sorry, you know, deal with the fact that you live in the real world. You know?
Like, hey, this person with the sloth icon is talking about cool shit and they want a fursuit, and then, oh, wait, they're talking about how turfs are awful and should be shot into the sun. They're not playing a character. That's who they are. And that's just...
Could you say turfs or turks?
Turfs.
Okay, all right.
Not turks.
Right, okay. Turfs, yes. Turfs should be shot to the sun.
Yes, trans-exclusionary rad fins.
They should be shot to the moon, and they would be astroturfs.
Oh, nice. And I saw this also the other day with someone trying to set up a science fiction fantasy writers guild that no politics at all. And then immediately they're like, and no social justice preaching. So it's like, oh, you said a red flag word.
Yeah.
And then a little bit further, like, oh, they're involved with like the sad puppies.
Oh, of course.
From the Hugos. And it's like, oh, so you've basically said you just want white men to be part of your thing. And then trying to say like, oh, well, science fiction fantasy wasn't always political. It's like, no, dude.
Fuck you.
If you're telling a story that involves a struggle, there is some political aspect to it.
Yeah.
No matter what. You know, Star Wars. Fascism is bad.
I'm just, oh my God. Like the modern Star Trek and Star Wars and Doctor Who quote unquote fans that are like complaining about all the women in all three of those shows.
Yeah.
Complaining about minorities in at least two of those and just complaining about any political storyline.
Yeah.
And it's like Star Wars is literally about war.
Yeah.
And whenever people are at war, there's politics involved.
Well, I mean, Star Trek, it's about a hopeful future where they're trying to make peace, but there's wars involved. I'm sure people complained quite bitterly about Captain Sisko in DS9, and that one was the most warlike of the Star Trek series until Discovery.
Discovery, yeah.
Panther helpfully chimes in, Star Wars literally has stormtroopers.
Yeah, yeah.
The Empire is beating you over the head with its obvious Nazi analogy, especially the First Order.
Especially the First, holy shit, yeah.
Here's an interesting tidbit, right?
Right.
This is involves some extra reading into like the new EU.
Okay.
And basically all of the First Order is essentially modern neo-Nazis, right? So yeah, the Empire is the literal Nazis.
Right.
And
they're the people that are like, ooh, the Empire was cool. Let's do it again.
Right. Literally. That is literally the case because the most recent book, Phasma, that came out, you know, Phasma, she's got the cool chrome armor. And it literally paints her as this awful, evil idiot. And they're like, she's the main character. And so there's toys of her. There's all this other shit. But like the character, like she's shown up twice in the movies and jobbed it both times. And then in the extended universe, she's a total asshole who like is only self-serving and is this awful character. And then like Hux, right?
Yeah.
Like it turns out that Phasma, sorry, spoilers, killed his dad. And he's like, yeah, my dad was an asshole. Lol. He's literally some fashy little face 4chaner who's like, yo, you know, the Empire was cool. Let's genocide some more planets. The entire First Order, aside from like the kids they kidnapped and brainwashed into being stormtroopers or whatever, is literally an analog to neo-Nazis. Where they're like, you know, those people killed a bunch of people. What if we did it more? So it's really kind of interesting to see. Because, you know, Kylo was his big, like, oh, I'm idolizing, you know, he's idolizing Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And then Snoke's like, yo, take that ridiculous mask off. And he's like, oh, and smashes it because he's mad and his man.
Yeah.
Rage.
Yeah. He's like, his impotent rage is just is really an analogy for these shitty MRA types and all that crap. You know, all this alt-right bullshit. Oh,
and there was this really funny bit where that one scene where he's putting on his clothes and they have the Force connection and he's standing there shirtless and Rey's like, could you put on a shirt?
Uh-huh.
And there was a thing. It's like, oh man, I stood around moist all day and no, and she didn't call. God. Going back to the, like, the idea of fandom as politics, I'm like, that's just how it is, man. You can't, there's no way to have a fandom of anybody but you. Like, if it is just you, you can keep, you can have your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
but you can't be like, oh, we're only going to look and be like, oh, these stormtroopers are cool. Oh, Phasma seems like she's neat. Oh, wait, let's look at her backstory. Oh, no, she's awful. Oh, no, everybody in the First Order is a piece of shit. Wow. Obviously, they're the bad guys, but there are no, like, sympathetic people, really.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, obviously, they're going to do more with the storytelling, and obviously, they can go super forward with the timeline now after the end of Last Jedi.
Right.
But they're telling political-ass stories. I mean, hell, take a look at Cantabite, right?
Right.
It's all about how the real enemy of the people in the galaxy are the rich.
Yeah.
Who are selling, or the ones who are making the weapons of war and selling it to everybody.
Lightsaber to rich.
So, at this point, we have talked for a while. We're going to stop and save, and then we'll come back. We have a number of emails. I think we have 4.
Oh, okay.
And we will be.
I haven't put the new address on my phone yet, so I don't.
I got that email. We're good.
I'm out of the loop. This will be a surprise for me.
Look, it's 2018. If you don't have a fursona, get your act together.
That's right. Everyone has to have a fursona now. It's like required. I mean, look, we just dragged a lawyer in off the street and gave him a fursona.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We're getting video game people. We're getting like fighting game folks. We're assimilating like bronies left and right. You have until like just like in YouTube. If you don't have a fursona by the end of 2018, I don't think we can help you anymore.
Yeah. You'll be unsubscribed.
You'll be unsubscribed to reality.
Yeah,
that's pretty rough. So we're going into our emails. So you can email the show at southpodcast@gmail.com. You can also use the old email address if you still have that, if you can't remember that. Southpodcast.tumblr.com is our Tumblr, I'm pretty sure. I'll have to double check it because I think it's Southpaws or Southpaw. It's like, ah, there's the S. And Fuzz is abusing me. We do have all the same stuff. We'll have to update our Google Play, apparently, because someone mentioned like last week that, oh, we're still listed as Notcast over there. So
Ooh. We'll
fix that. It just requires remembering how to log in. So we have a few emails from a little bit ago, actually from the middle of December. Tumblr sent us an ask. Anonymous asked a question, which is actually less of a question and more of a recommendation.
Okay.
A few episodes ago, Saverin mentioned enjoying the Trillbilly Workers Party podcast, but lamenting it updates very infrequently. I just wanted to recommend the Well Read podcast, Well R-E-D podcast, as it's a very similar concept and it's pretty enjoyable, even if it gets a bit long. Love the show, it's great, keep up the good work. Well, I will have to check that out. But Trillbilly Worker Party, this socialist-leaning podcast from like that is folks in Tennessee and Appalachia.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very cognizant of the issues that are going on in that chunk of the country.
What they call the redneck left.
Yeah. They're basically, redneck left kind of folks. And given the issues they face in that region, how horrifically poor that section of the country is, that kind of stuff is needed out there. So
Thank
you for the recommendation, Anon. So next email, this one's from a good dude, Kyle Fuzz. Want to read that one?
Oh, wow. Yeah, this goes back a while. Okay. On colors into pride flag, sort of. Hey guys, I listened to the letter from your listener who objected to the addition of the black and brown stripes to the pride flag, mostly the black stripe, if I recall, and I approved of your response to it. You didn't address one aspect of his letter, though, where he said, please correct me if I'm misquoting, quote, gay Muslims who are under penalty of death in their countries. This is a commonly recited belief of right-wingers trying to spread Islamophobia to liberals in the gay community, and a lot of people buy into it. When For Planet released my book, The Time He Desires, I had some people tweeting that at me, so I did some research. The resulting blog post is here. You can put the link.
I can put the link in the show notes. Yeah.
But the summary is this. Only one Muslim country actually regularly executes gay people, and that's Iran. Many others have a death penalty on the books, but have not had an execution recorded in some time. And there are 75 countries in the world that count homosexuality as illegal, but only 31 are Muslim countries. Many of the others are Christian nations, like Uganda. So A, most Muslim countries don't execute gay people. And B, the majority of countries in the world where homosexuality is illegal aren't Muslim. This info is a year old, but I don't think much has changed since then. Just something to remember the next time someone tells you that Muslim countries execute gay people. Thanks for continuing to do a fun and informative podcast, Kyle.
Yeah, and that's an important thing, too, because, like, I remember growing up, and this is something that bothers me deeply, that it's still going on, is, like, a large part of evangelical missionary work is to Africa. And a lot of it is essentially coercing people into becoming Christian, to getting their aid, but also doing a lot of heavy lobbying for the government. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Uganda... And
pushing through a lot of anti-gay laws.
Yeah, Uganda had a kill the gays bill that basically Obama said, yeah, you guys, if you do that, we're cutting you off. And they stopped it, but I bet if they tried it again, the current admin would not be so strict. Colonialism has fucked Africa real hard. You know, there's no getting around that. And a lot of the religion pushing by white Westerners has not helped either. So you have, you know, countries who got drawn up arbitrarily, much like in the Middle East.
Yeah, it's literally called the Scramble for Africa, where all the white Europeans met together in, I want to say, Germany. Maybe France? I think it was Germany, actually. They made
that shit up.
And they basically, they slapped a map of the continent on a table, and they decided how they were going to divvy it up. Like, you know, no input from the people already living there, of course, you know?
You know, you look at a lot of the anything missionary, and a lot of it is like going, oh, you know, we're doing a mission to Haiti or a mission to Africa. And it's like, nah, dude, don't. Like, there's doing so much damage. Like, any, like, physical good is still probably in the long run going to be outweighed by, like, the social ills that they inflict on the disadvantaged. There's a lot of countries in Africa where it's a many-year prison sentence, and it's super fucked up. So that is a good tidbit. Thank you for writing, Kyle. I'll make sure to put the note in the show notes. So the next one, a question for this show.
Okay.
So let's see. Hi there, formerly Notcasters. I've got a question of the maybe sex relation variety I've never gotten around to before. Basically, I need help with my dick hair. No, don't close this yet. I'm serious. My wife was experiencing a lot of irritation after sex. We tried different lubes and such, but it never helped much. One day, after her complaining about how quickly my beard stubble irritated her sensitive skin, a thought occurred to me. Sure enough, upon inspection, I discovered more and thicker hairs on the underside of my dingus than I remember being there before. So I sat down and plucked those fuckers out. Ah, success? Sex was no longer irritating. Aside, great muzzle problems, right? What's with these hairs showing up in unfortunate places? I never asked for thicker, bushier eyebrows. So, finally, we come to the question. What's the best, most efficient way to get rid of these wayward hairs? Shaving is out of the question. Dick stubble is even worse than the original problem. Individual plucking is tedious, and I swear to God, if I have to get reading glasses to help spot individual hairs, well, I'm not going to be happy. I'm terrified of the idea of wax. That seems to be some delicate skin that I don't want to tear off. Thanks. Are there any other options? Do you guys or the wider community of Notcast guests or listeners have any suggestions? Thanks in advance. Ian. P.S. I don't know if the email address is changing, so I just had to send at least one message to notcast@foxeffers.com, the greatest email address the world has ever seen. Thanks for 10 years, guys. Honestly, if you're afraid of wax, I mean, you can try Nair.
Be very careful, because
that's super harsh. Like,
test it on a non-sensitive area of skin first to make sure you don't have a reaction to
it. I have known people that have done that, and it didn't work out very well in the end. It was very uncomfortable, and it irritates the hell out of your skin.
Yeah.
The only, like, other option is, like, electrolysis, and that's you have to have done. You don't want to do that yourself. Like, unfortunately, having bushy...
Was he talking about...
He's talking about pubic hair.
Yeah, but is he talking about oral or vaginal sex?
Vaginal sex.
Because I'm just like, I mean, you wear a condom?
Well, it's not the dick that has hair. It's it the is. Area. Well, I mean...
He was talking to... Yeah, like, some guys have hair on their dicks. It's to do with circumcision. Like, they pull the... They pull the skin up a little bit to circumcise you.
I could totally.
So it drags some of the hair the follicle bearing skin up, so sometimes you get hair on your shaft.
I don't have that problem, so that's news to me. So,
like, some people have a few, but, you know, it's sort of like beard hair.
Yeah.
Some people have a little, some people end up with a lot. It just depends how hirsute you are. That's why I'm like, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks if you're in, like, a relationship where it's safe and you don't want to use a condom, but, I mean, that's going to cover the shaft and keep the abrasiveness of the hair away from it.
Panther joins in and says, electrolysis and laser hair removal are both semi-permanent hair removal methods, but it is decidedly not DIY.
No, it's not.
Like, all right, I'm going to take a laser.
Yeah. Laser your junk off. Like, no. It's also, I mean, I've heard from other people that have had it done, and it's not pleasant either. You know, it does last longer than wax. But wax is generally like a quick pain that's like a pulling off a Band-Aid and it's done. But electrolysis is like singeing you repeatedly.
Yeah. So basically, if you want it done, it's not going to be fun regardless. But once you get it done, if you do it in a semi-permanent method, you won't have to worry about irritating your lady's bits.
Yeah.
Because that's important not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Electrolysis is fairly painful, but you can get lidocaine cream from a doctor to help with the pain. Panther is still typing.
Mm-hmm.
He can hear us. He's in the other room heading at him, but he's like, I shall have input via text.
Yeah.
One last email.
I wonder if that would help if, like, you moisturized your dick or you
conditioned
it or like you conditioned the hair or anything to soften it.
Personally, when I use my conditioner, I can wash all the bits of my body that have hair on them. So, you know, I'll put some on the pits and some on the pubes. So, yeah, I guess that totally fine. I guess I should just ask, like, so how do my pubes feel next time? Like, how does this feel? Am I irritating your skin? He then adds that laser hair removal is less uncomfortable than electrolysis, but not a huge difference. So there will be some pain involved. But actually, try shampooing and conditioning your junk and see how that works. But again, you know, please consider your partner's comfort. Be sure, you know, like your idea that wearing a condom is probably.
That's going to be the cheapest and most pain-free.
Yeah. It'll probably help you last longer, too.
Yeah.
All right. So we have one last email. This one titled Punisher and Police Brutality.
Oh, shit.
Going back to it's actually a good one.
Yeah.
It's not you fuckers.
This goes back to a conversation we had.
Two, three episodes ago?
Oh, that's right. We did mention that. We'd actually had a much more extensive conversation around the time that situation where the cops had actually put the Punisher logo on their cars.
Yeah.
And that was like a year ago.
Yeah. But we also brought it back up when we were talking about the swatting.
Talking about the swatting. Right. Okay. How do we do, Lily Gang? Listening to your recent podcast, episode 371, and you were discussing police brutality in America and how some cops are identifying with the Punisher and bearing his trademark skull insignia and adopting his ruthless zero-tolerance stance on all forms of crime. As an avid Punisher fan and having amassed quite a collection of Punisher comics, mainly from the early 90s, I thought I'd point out some memorable moments throughout the series in which Frank Castle deals with cops, both good and dirty. In Punisher War Journal Volume 1, Issue 25, Frank kills two Florida PD cops for being involved in drug trafficking. However, one of the cops was the nephew of a powerful senator, and Frank flees to Sicily until the whole thing blows over. The Punisher Back to School Special, Issue 2, in a ballsy move, Frank goes into a police station to help identify a perp in a subject lineup. And a suspect lineup, excuse me. However, Frank uses this opportunity to gun down the lineup and attack the officers, many of whom are dirty and use excessive force on minorities. Frank beats up but still goes easy on a cop who is the only honest one in the department. The Punisher, Volume 2, Issue 75. A elite task force called Vigil is set up in New York to track down and arrest vigilantes. Frank is cornered on the rooftop of a crack lab by a Vigil SWAT team and willingly surrenders, stating he'll never take on honest cops before the SWAT team gets gunned down by a villain called Recoil. The Punisher War Journal, Issue 48. A rookie cop is credited with Frank's destroying of a drug lab and ascends through the ranks of the NYPD. However, his new unit is on the take from the mafia, and the rookie cop asks Frank for help. Frank declines and urges the rookie to rat out the corrupt unit, which the rookie eventually does. However, he is seen as a rat by his fellow cops, and his family is subsequently blown up by the mafia. These are just a few examples of Frank's dealings with authorities, and it's pretty shocking to think some cops want to be the Punisher, as many Punisher writers agree that Frank Castle is not a man to be emulated. He is consumed by grief and guilt for what happened to his family, and in a way punishes himself by putting himself in a dangerous and life-threatening situation. Cops that think they are the Punisher should read the comics, and they'd soon realize why any police force shouldn't take on his mindset, and instead try to do their jobs and make the world a better place. Also, I'm not a furry or homosexual, I just listen to the podcast for the nerdy side of things, but all the topics you discuss are pretty good. Yours earnestly, Damian Cunningham.
Cool. Well, thank you for writing in. You have far more extensive knowledge of the Punisher comics than we do, so thanks for filling us in.
Yeah, that's
really cool. It's one of those things where, like, my primary exposure to the Punisher has been him on Daredevil and the Punisher series on Netflix, and he's not a good dude. And some
he's a complex dude.
Yeah. Like, he's not a hero to be emulated, that is to say. But he's like, oh, he's big and tough and he's got guns and he kills criminals. Well, he kills a lot of people, including dirty
cops.
Right. Thank you for writing in. That's gonna wrap it up for this episode, and thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 372. You can find us on Twitter at SouthPawsCast. You can find us on Tumblr at SouthPawsCast, patreon.com/southpawcast, and, you know, find me on Twitter at Stavron Drake with my hot takes and video games and whatnot.
Find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf, where I chat about stuff and books and retweet political things.
Yep.
And I'm using furry things.
Oh, yeah. And you can find also, starting today, find us, we'll be on, we're on Google Play, we're on iTunes, and if things work out, this will also be up on YouTube. Just go to my YouTube channel, go to justafox.com or youtube.com/user, you know, just a fox is the custom URL I had, and this episode, I'll post it up same time as the iTunes version, and...
Wait, are you Just a Fox on YouTube, or are you Stavron Drake on YouTube?
The channel name is Stavron Drake, but the custom URL that I chose is
the Just a Fox.
Just a Fox. And I got the URL redirect for it.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because I was like, you know, it's worth a shot.
Since we mentioned it earlier and, like, you didn't really give a lot of feedback on it, if you went to FC, write in with a con report and let us know what you thought.
Yep. And you can, again, write in to southpawcast@gmail.com.
Okay. Cool.
On that note, good night.